Lord, we pray for the one who preaches, for you know his sins are many. Amen. Please be seated. My wife and I picked up our oldest son from Camp Allen in Navasota yesterday morning after he had been away for a week of summer camp. And for those of you who don't know, Camp Allen is the camp and conference center for the Episcopal Diocese of Texas. It's a great place to send yourself or your kids, and you don't have to do that at the same time. You can have a little break from one another. And this is the third year that he's gone to Camp Allen, but the first year he's gone there for two separate weeks, and he had a great time both weeks. And I love seeing photographs of him and of other kids from Palmer having fun together and really just delighting in the world that God has made in a way that they don't get to do at other times of the year. And it brings back a lot of great memories for me of scout camp in the mountains of North Carolina and really of my own summertime adventures alone in the creeks and woods that were behind my childhood home. And all of those things that you remember for yourself or you see in other people are the fulfillment of the prayer for newly baptized children, that they would be given the gift of joy and wonder in all of God's works. And it's really wonderful when you can see that and be reminded of that for yourself. Well, in between those 2 weeks of summer camp, our whole family took a week of vacation that included several nights in San Antonio. And as we drove around that city, we saw some of the same things that we see here in Houston on most days. We saw men and women who were either homeless or spending their days on the street, many of them addicted to alcohol or opioids or kush, many of them with a variety of mental health issues that make them reluctant to receive the kind of help that can change their circumstances. And so they walk around, as one person describes it, barely living, confined to slender medians, their peripatetic journeys regulated by stoplights and traffic patterns, their bodies wasted, their eyes dimmed. They ask for food, for money, for anything, letting cardboard signs speak for them, sometimes truthful, sometimes not. You know, it's embarrassing to admit this, but it's easy to forget a lot of times that these men and women, with faces darkened from the harshness of the sun and from not bathing, that they were once children who played by themselves and with their friends, that they explored their neighborhoods, whether in the country or in the city, amazed at the organization of an army of ants or the majesty of a grasshopper, that they heard and saw birds in the backyard or in the park down the street. And I'm sure there was something in God's creation, however small it might have been, that captivated their imagination and thrilled them when they were young. And they probably shared that joy with a parent whose son or daughter they remain. And it's just heartbreaking to see them today and to imagine that and to wonder what that was like long ago. To what can I liken you? For vast as the sea is your ruin, who can heal you? That's the question that's asked in the second chapter of the Book of Lamentations. And those words describe not a person, but a city, Jerusalem, which had been destroyed along with its temple. With God's house no longer standing, his people were taken far away into captivity. When the Jews returned from exile, however, they didn't return to life as it was before the destruction of their homes and their lives. No, they encountered a landscape that had been forever changed. In other words from Lamentations, the sacred stones lie scattered at the head of every street. So that's what people could see. The deep, deep grief of the poetry in the Book of Lamentations, which is everything that we didn't hear sung today in church. So the words printed in your bulletin, those are the only positive words in the Book of Lamentations. All the rest is weighed down heavily with deep, deep grief. And those words can describe not only a ruined brick-and-mortar urban landscape, but also a ruined flesh and blood human landscape. Sometimes we see that happening right before our very eyes. When we encounter a street person half dazed because of an addiction, or as we watch our screens flooded with news reports about infants and young children who've been separated, in some cases permanently, from their parents at the border, or when the realities of a divorce spill out into the public square, or when the effects of a terrible disease are no longer hidden but on full display in mental confusion or some kind of physical decline. Most of the time, however, most of us are able to keep the ruins that we're standing in and weeping over hidden behind the facade of our pursuit of happiness. Friendships and marriages might be strained. From the very young to the very old, parents, children, and siblings struggle in their relationships with each other. People are stressed out about all sorts of things: work, social interactions, fears both real and imagined. And surely there are folks here this morning who are wrestling with God, unsure about their own faith and more than a little doubtful about God's faithfulness to us. And all of that is spoken aloud in the last two verses of the book of Lamentations. You didn't learn this in Sunday school or VBS, so you're going to learn it today. What are the last two verses of the book of Lamentations? Why have you forsaken us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Period. Book ends. Yes, that's how a book of the Bible ends. And yet that's not the end. That's not the final word. The late novelist Walker Percy hinted at that kind of hope and defiance of the facts on the ground through the words of one of his characters, Dr. Moore, a fictional psychiatrist in a small town in Louisiana. And Dr. Moore described himself by saying this. He said, "I am a Roman Catholic, albeit a bad one. I believe in the Holy Catholic, Apostolic, and Roman Church, in God the Father, in the election of the Jews, in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who founded the church on Peter, his first vicar, which will last until the end of the world. Some years ago, however, I stopped eating Christ in communion, stopped going to Mass, and have since fallen into a disorderly life. I believe in God and the whole business, but I love women best, music and science next, whiskey next, God fourth, and my fellow man hardly at all. Generally, I do as I please." A man, wrote John, who says he believes in God and does not keep his commandments is a liar. If John is right, then I am a liar. Nevertheless, I still believe. That testimony, that honest testimony, appears in a novel called Love in the Ruins. And I think that's a wonderful title for a book. And what a great summary it is of the cautious hope that arises unexpectedly in the middle of the book of Lamentations. And these are the words that we did hear sung in church today. "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And then the poet turns to the Lord, hoping against hope, and says directly to the Lord, "Great is your faithfulness." Those are his words spoken while standing in the middle of the ruins. So I say to you, come here when you don't know how to pray, and you will be surrounded by the love of Jesus through the prayers of those around you. Come here when you aren't sure if you believe the words of the creed, and allow others to say those words for you. Come here if you haven't been faithful in your promises to yourself to your loved ones or to God, and be reminded of God's faithfulness to you in spite of that. Come here if you honestly don't know what to think about politics or protests, or you're just overwhelmed by the state of the world. And hear the invitation for all you that are weary and heavy laden to find rest for your souls. Come here when you don't think you deserve forgiveness, and hear the truth that God has already forgiven you and loves you, the imperfect you, the real you, even if you don't believe it. Come here and listen to the story of salvation, of how Jesus came into this world, of how his body was ruined on Good Friday when he suffered and died for us, and of how the power of love is stronger than the power of death, which has been defeated and no longer has dominion over him. So yes, my friends, there is love in the ruins, which is steadfast and renewed with each sunrise. And you and I are never standing in that place of desolation and anxiety and fear alone. We are not alone. We're never alone. And the love that surrounds us, even when we're just a wreck, is nothing less than the presence of the Holy Spirit. This I believe. Amen.